Significant news from across the Tasman during the week with announcements made about the future of New Zealand racing. And it's wonderful this morning to catch up with Bernard Saundry, who is, of course, the CEO of New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing and has been for some time now. How are you, Bernard?
Good, thanks, Joan. Good morning, listeners.
How long have you been over there now for?
It'll be 2 years next month, Joe. So I've had a, 2 years has gone very quickly. There's been lots to do and clearly the announcement early in the week from the Deputy Prime Minister is welcome and very good news for New Zealand thoroughbred racing.
It is indeed very good news handed down by Sir Winston Peters during the week. Take us through some of the key points and what it means for New Zealand racing, Bernard.
So, Joe, I think we'll take the listeners back to this time last year where John Massara was commissioned over 3 months to prepare a report, an independent report, into the state of New Zealand racing. And that report was finalised, sent out for consultation, and the minister has then appointed a ministerial advisory committee to advise him on how to operationalise the many aspects of the report. And basically the Massara report had 17 recommendations, principally around governance, new revenue streams and venue infrastructure. And the minister has been true to his word and has announced this week that we will see the introduction of race fields legislation, a point of consumption charge, and a setting up a transition arrangement for a new governance model for New Zealand racing, that being the three codes. So I hope by the middle of the year we'll have race fields legislation, the point of consumption charge, which are important revenue streams for the industry, and that money will be invested back into prize money and back into infrastructure, which is really needed in New Zealand.
It certainly is and has been for some time. The New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing Venue Plan Phase 1 has also been released, Bernard?
That's right, Joe. So in conjunction with the Massara report, the racing industry, being the New Zealand Racing Board and the three codes, had embarked on a venue plan process, sought submissions and consultations with all clubs right throughout New Zealand. And from my perspective and New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing's perspective, we had a very early view that 48 venues across New Zealand was something that could not be sustainable in the modern wagering environment. We've got facilities right across the country that are 30 and 40 years old that have had no investment. So we embarked on, New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing was very keen to get on with the program. So we've, early in the week, advanced changes to reduce the number of venues from 48 to 41 as a first phase. That second phase, there's another 10 tracks under consideration, and that will be undertaken in the course of the second half of this year. But it hasn't been an easy undertaking to do that, but ultimately we need to place race meetings where we believe we can get the best return from wagering and also build out customer experiences and have facilities that our modern customer demands.
Implementing that change would inevitably have had its challenges. How's the general reaction been from participants in the industry to all of this?
There's always mixed views when you take on a program like this, Joe, but I think generally people realise in the industry, both participants and clubs, that there are too many venues. When you're talking about relocating clubs to other venues, clearly clubs say there's change needed, but it's not on their watch, and they're happy to point in every other part of New Zealand, but don't change us, is kind of a message we kept getting back. But in fairness, what was said, that every club has a role to play in this venue plan. So from a geography perspective, we want to make sure the community trainers can get to racing within an hour across the country, and we will be true to our word on that. And that's the way the venue plan has played out. We're also very keen for clubs to work in regions. And as we developed consultative workshops across the country, we found that the Taranaki, there's four or five clubs in that region that are prepared to work together. In the Waikato, who have got magnificent properties in terms of land values, but they're aging. So we want to see the likes of the Waikato Racing Club, the Cambridge Jockey Club, and Waipa Jockey Club come together and build out a world-class centre of excellence for racing and training. You want to see, you know, a grass track, a 2,400 metre grass track, a 2,000 metre synthetic track, and a facility that can house up to 2,000 horses over the next 10 to 15 years. And New Zealand Racing deserves that, and it's certainly an objective of NZTR and the clubs in that region to deliver that. And, of course, then you've got Auckland. The Auckland region have Ellerslie racing today, obviously, the Avondale Jockey Club and the Counties Race Club, all with valuable assets. And one of the real positives about New Zealand Racing, a lot of the clubs own their own land, so the two things that we've NZTR are very focused on is how do we work with clubs to unlock that value and invest into the future, and also the wagering asset of the New Zealand Racing Board, which is another key recommendation for the Massara review in looking at ways to outsource and extract value that can be put back into prize money.
You mentioned the Waikato region. It is truly one of the most beautiful thoroughbred breeding centres anywhere in the world. And the breeding industry in New Zealand has been very much propping up racing generally in the nation. It's nice now to see, Bernard, that racing is going to aim to catch up with the advancements there, because there are some wonderful marketers and promoters of racing in New Zealand that have done great things for the industry.
No, you're spot on, Joe, and you know, the breeding industry in New Zealand is world-class, is world-renowned. What we need is our racetracks and our venues to be world-class and world-renowned, and that's an objective we've all got. How we get there, it's not a one-year fix. It's a multi-year fix over 5 to 10 years, but we are determined to put thoroughbred racing and repositioning for, as we all know, we're in a global wagering market now, and it's important that we produce good tracks, good customer facilities and good prize money to attract horses from all around the world and participants. And New Zealand Racing has done a fantastic job. We've got people and horses that venture off to all parts of the world, whether it's into Australia, whether it's into Singapore, Hong Kong or other parts of Europe and the UK. New Zealand Racing has a great presence, and we want to make sure that the people in New Zealand get to experience New Zealand thoroughbred the racing the way it should be.
Well, they can certainly breed a racehorse there. We see many that are bred and reared in New Zealand go offshore, especially into the Asian jurisdictions of Singapore and Hong Kong, but also come across to Australia for the carnivals, Bernard. And the most recent example of that is the very good filly, Very Elegant. She's been a great flag bearer for New Zealand breeding and racing.
Certainly has been. And we saw last week, I think we finished in the Cup. We finished third with Glory Days, and in the Derby we were second, third, fourth and fifth. So New Zealand Racing has a great presence, and we want to make sure that the racetracks also can compete and be accepted on the world stage when it comes to wagering customers.
In time, is the ultimate aim to keep some of those high-class horses in New Zealand for longer than usual, racing for better purses there? Is this prize money improvement going to be something that is a commitment for the long term?
Well, it's certainly a first step in getting our minimum prize money up and prize money into feature racing. But I think we have to accept that every year we breed about 3,300 foals, and we know about a third of those foals end up racing in jurisdictions like Australia, Singapore and Hong Kong. And, you know, we have many trainers here that have a model that prepares horses for offshore sale and racing. And they've got the model that also generates, you know, horses for the local market. I think you'll find that'll continue. What we want to make sure is that we've got an attractive prize money model that keeps breeders breeding horses and producing horses on an annual basis, and that's our biggest concern at the moment. It's not just a concern in New Zealand, it's a concern worldwide, and I'm sure these announcements will help breed confidence back into our owners to breed more horses, because clearly the horse takes the centre stage in everything we do, and we need to make sure we've got a sustainable number of horses to deliver what is currently about 310 race meetings a year that are hosted in New Zealand across the 41 venues.
What is significant too for New Zealand Racing is the heavy investment of the Lindsay family into Cambridge Stud and continuing that legacy. They've made incredible improvements to the iconic property, and they're going to help take New Zealand racing and breeding to another level again?
Oh, they are fantastic contributors. The Lindsays, they have invested heavily. Sir Patrick Hogan left the dynasty. Well, the Lindsays will certainly make sure that they leave a dynasty. And the investment that has been made at Cambridge Stud since the Lindsays have taken over has been fantastic. And I know you interviewed Brendan the other day, and I listened to that interview, and I have seen some of the developments that he's undertaken. And he's a man on a mission. He's certainly a guy that wants to get things done quickly, and you can see from the work that he's done in and around that stud is that it's a showpiece for New Zealand racing and breeding.
And in other news, you're looking to have the first synthetic track in New Zealand introduced over the next 12 months at the Cambridge Jockey Club.
So, Joe, yeah, that's as part of the NZCR venue plan, we did highlight that synthetic track racing and training was something that should be a priority for the country. So we've highlighted in the venue plan that we'd like to see a Cambridge synthetic track, also a synthetic track at Arapuni and one at Riccarton. And we are currently negotiating with the government. Winston Peters has been a fantastic support and has put funds aside. So we're just finalising the business case for the minister to have the first synthetic racing and training track at the Cambridge Jockey Club. The Cambridge Jockey Club is the busiest training centre in Australasia. And we know that by having a synthetic track for predominantly training and trialling, but for racing when the weather does get a little bit inclement, and we know that we could put a track that's probably just on 1,900 metres in circumference on the course proper at Cambridge that can be cost-effective for owners and can be a good wagering outcome that can ultimately, from proceeds, get put back in a prize money.
And you're working with Racing Australia on sharing of technology?
Well, it's one of the things, Joe, that Racing Australia have done over the last 4 or 5 years, which is a fantastic achievement, and that is bring together the racing databases of each state of Australia onto one platform. And I know Western Australia went live a couple of weeks ago, and we've been watching that very closely, and we'll have an engagement with Racing Australia on how can we leverage all the learnings. And clearly we don't want to rebuild a system if there's a system already been built, and if there's a way that we can pay a licence fee to use that software, we think that's a plus, not only for New Zealand racing, but also for both countries, because we know horses do cross the Tasman on a regular basis, and if we can have similar business processes and opportunities, that makes it easier for trainers and jockeys and owners to engage in the sport on both sides of the Tasman. We see that as a positive. So we've got an objective by July is to finalise the business case to see what a licence fee could look like to utilise the platform that's been developed in Australia.
And Bernard, New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing is also looking at upgrading its digital platforms to improve the customer experience.
It certainly is, John. One of the things that that I learnt at Racing Victoria was aggregating video content, news content and data into a single shop window called racing.com has a real benefit. So we're at the moment pulling a proposal together to find ways to package up that content, whether it be live vision, archive vision, news content and other racing information data, into a platform that can be a single brand. And we've got a single brand called loveracing.nz, and it's important that packaging that data and that vision into Australian markets with Australian wagering operators is one way of increasing the interest in New Zealand racing and punters that are engaging across multiple racing products. Having that data and that content is vitally important. So we want more people engaged on those platforms, not only in New Zealand, but also in Australia and in other parts of the world. And the platform is vitally important, and making the right investment is also important.
That's a great idea. And certainly we've seen some brilliant content that gets pushed out by some of the bigger stud farms in New Zealand. they do some really good quality content that resonates with the Australian audiences especially. And in fact, we're seeing some businesses here copying very much what they are innovating in terms of how they promote their businesses digitally.
Absolutely. And the studs do lead the way here. And one of the great things about all the studs and the trainers, a lot of these groups do generate their own content. So the beauty of the way digital technology works, we can pick that content up and partner with trainers and breeding farms to show that to a wider audience under a thoroughbred racing brand called loveracing.nz. And there are some simple principles that we agree with, and Trackside do an amazing job producing vision for thoroughbred racing, not only for New Zealand markets, but also into Australia. And we can leverage those relationships that we've got back through the racing board, back through Trackside, to share that content with punters and owners and breeders.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. And Bernard, 2 years you mentioned you've been in the role now for, it has flown by. You must thoroughly enjoy it. There's been a lot of exciting challenges on the table for you.
Well, that's Joe. What I found is, yes, there were lots of challenges, but also see lots of opportunities for New Zealand racing. We've got magnificent landscapes. The people are fantastic. And now we need to unlock the value that the industry owns. When I say the industry, the clubs own in their land assets, and make them work for the long-term future of New Zealand thoroughbred racing. And a process we'll embark on over the next few months is testing the current wagering model as to whether, under an outsourced arrangement, could that improve revenue streams for us? And so we believe there is an opportunity there. We know there's a lot of history. There's a fantastic group of volunteers that have put a lot of work and effort. We've got clubs that 100 and 120 years old in New Zealand, and bringing all that together to reshape the industry is certainly an objective of NZTR, and we've got a dedicated team that are determined to work through all those issues we've talked about today.
And across the 2 years, have you had much time to get back home to Melbourne?
Yeah, I've been back a couple of times, back for Christmas last year, and I get over for the spring carnival. But yeah, I stay. We've got our three children working in Melbourne, so it's important they come here. We go there, and it's not a arduous journey. Getting out of Wellington Airport into Melbourne is a simple exercise. I found it a bit more simple as the couple of years have gone on. And but certainly my full time role is here, and I'm enjoying working with a whole lot of different people and looking to improve thoroughbred racing in the time I've got.
And you've made significant inroads already. Bernard, thanks for joining us on the program. Lovely to catch up with you. And congratulations on all you've been able to initiate thus far. Looking forward to see how it all rolls out over the next couple of months and years.
Good on you, Joe. I appreciate you having me on. And thanks, listeners, for listening to what should be an exciting journey.
That's Bernard Saundry, the CEO of New Zealand Thoroughbred Racing. They are about to embark on some significant plans and innovations for the sport in that country. You'll see and hear a lot more of New Zealand racing in the coming months.